Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, what a rush! Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show to get your brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Both with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 knights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yes, sir. We went to school. What up, beautiful people of War Room World? We are back to talk more smack, which can only mean that you are once again live in the War Room, brought to you, of course, by War Room Sports on that new WRS Podcast Network. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm joined at the round table, as usual, by my partners in slander, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and B. Austin. We got NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, World Cup, and much more. So make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports so you can get into the conversations yourself. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. People, during the week, make sure you visit WRSPN.com or our main site, warroomsports.com, and listen to some of the best radio, sports radio, talk radio that the internet has to offer. We got sports, we got lifestyle, we got culture, we got entertainment, and more. The War Room Sports Podcast Network has it all, so you can hear shows such as our show. You can hear the Broad Street Line with Roy Burton and Chris Domingo, Sports Trap Radio with Brandon Pemberton, the Gaffer and Hooligan Soccer Podcast with Kamal Hilton up north of the border, and you definitely want to tune into that because the World Cup is here, 2014 World Cup going on in Brazil. My man is covering it. He's going to be on the show with us. I think we're going to be able to get him in about 30 minutes just to, you know, answer a couple of quick questions about the World Cup and what's going on right now. But just make sure you get over to the network, check everybody out. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on FatsRadio.com. What's good, General?
Yo, I was watching some old lingerie league football, man, and I just got to say,
ta-tonk it.
I thank those ladies for all that they do, man, for the sport of football.
Yo, man.
No doubt. Giving them a shout-out for their exploitation of themselves.
Absolutely.
I dig
you
it.
You act like Atlanta in America.
Can you dig it? They don't give up. All right, man. So, yeah, it's been a full sports week. We got 2 championship series going on in 2 different sports. MLB is heating up. It's the U.S. Open is going on, the World Cup. So let's jump right into this, man. Jimmy, tell everybody what's been happening while they've been on the grind.
Absolutely. And for those who don't know, while you were on the grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on the DirecTV logo and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV, especially with football season approaching. Football season, you got to have DirecTV. You know what I mean? So you might as well get it through us, warroomsports.com, and click on that DirecTV logo. All right, gentlemen, first story, we don't really get to talk about these kind of stories most of the time when discussing athletes, specifically in the grind section. It's usually about people, you know, blowing money fast. But in this case right here, LeBron Raymond James has made $30 million from the sale of Beats Audio to Apple. What do you guys think about this story?
I think it's a good look for him. His agent set him up with a great deal. I'm sick of people running around here talking about Dr. Dre as a billionaire off of that sale because he only had 10% of that company. But LeBron, shout out to you for having that 1% come in at $30 million. That's a good look.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a new trend, though, that, you know, that's been going on with athletes, at least athletes that have smart teams around them smart representation, you know, instead of just getting money to hawk a product, you know, you get some equity in the company. And then when something like this goes down, you get big money off of it. So it's definitely a smart way to go. I'm pretty sure we're going to see a whole lot of other people go in this direction. I know Tom Brady, he has a deal like that with somebody. But, yeah, it's definitely a good look for LeBron James.
Very
adding more money to the empire.
Yo,
you know who started
that
trend, though.
That Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, let me shut up.
Chuck, Jordan Norris, Mike Norris, Chuck Jordan.
I ain't going to say nothing about it. I'm going to leave that part of this alone. Shout out to Dr. Dre, because whatever percentage he owned, you know what I'm saying, he came a long way. From, you know, the world-class wrecking crew to where he is now. So, shout out to Andre Young for that. Like, you know, whatever he got, I don't know what he got. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of us know what anybody got. And shout out to LeBron,
I was saying, okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, when I mentioned Tom Brady, his deal like that is with Under Armour. He has equity. And David Wright, the Mets third baseman, he had like a 0.5% stake in Vitamin Water, and when they sold that, he earned like $20 million. So, you know,
yeah.
Good luck.
Your man Curtis Curtis Jackson had a higher percentage than that. But here's the thing, though. It is a way to that athletes operate now. And shout out to LeBron, because LeBron has many deals like this. And I was reading up on this on the Wall Street Journal about LeBron, and that's the only deals that he does. He has to get equity. So, and his financial advisor is a guy by the name of Paul Wachter or whatever, but he's also the financial advisor for Jimmy Iovine. So he kind of like, you know,
But
to be honest with it, to be honest though, LeBron James did a lot for that brand, because I remember when Beats first took off was when the U.S. team used to rock them to every game. And that was LeBron James behind that. When he first got his equity, he took them. So he kind of like pimped his teammates out. He gave all his teammates on the the USA team free Beats, and they wore them that entire time. And, you know, it kind of like blossomed from that point on. That was before they were even like, you know, out for sale. So once they put them out for sale, the brand was already recognized. So not
pimped
that, you know.
His teammates. I pimp my team all the time. That's what those are for.
And the thing about it is LeBron has the ability to generate so much money, like, you know, off the court. And people don't realize that, you know, LeBron James has never been the highest paid player on any team he's played in, because he just basically doesn't have to be. So
I think it's kind of the same thing back. I don't want to keep bringing dude up, but it was the same thing like with Michael Jordan, how his salaries, like you would look and see what he was making per year, and you'd be like, yo, what the hell? He's Michael Jordan.
Yo,
he was making
him,
so much.
He was getting
off
taken
the court,
advantage of.
Like, yeah, I mean, but think about it. I mean, it was the way that they were able to build six championship teams, you know, could have been seven or eight.
Took advantage
possibly,
of Mike. That's why when Mike came back for that second run,
he got it all back.
It was like
he got it all back. That's still the biggest contract ever. $33 million for one season.
That's because they owed him. For real. That was back pay. That was back then, yo. Because when you look at what Mike was averaging like 36 a game and was getting like $25 an hour.
Yo, Michael Jordan was like the best player in the world, and he was signed for $12.50 an hour, and was getting overtime.
So the thing about it is that was the big payback, and he did do that, you know. But he also laid the blueprint down from the corporate side, you know, in terms of what these athletes are doing now. You know, and now he invests in the prison industrial complex, but that's a whole other story. So shout out to LeBron James and his story.
It hurt Jimmy bad to say that. He had to shoot at Mike.
No, I'm just saying, you know, shout out to LeBron for doing that. And LeBron, like I said, just from reading like the article in the Wall Street Journal, it seems like he has more deals that will go down like this. And he did say at one point that he wants to be the first billionaire athlete. And another one of his advisors is Buffett, so we'll see what happens. But anyway, that's better than the stories we usually report of people.
I mean, when he said
furniture.
That, though, Jim, did he mean period or just like while he was playing still?
I don't know what he meant.
Honestly,
I don't know. I have to go back and look. Because
MJ just,
I don't know.
There was a report today that MJ just joined that Billionaire Boys Club.
Oh, did he?
Oh, his, man.
Yeah, his initial investment into the Hornets was 171, and the team is worth like 650 now. So I saw a report today.
LeBron's
whole report.
That's what, That's what that inflated all the team's values went up because of your man.
So, and he's still fighting it. He trying to get three.
Yo,
he's still fighting
now.
Yeah, but
that's why he ain't going to win.
LeBron, they reference this deal, this $30 million pickup, you know, because in the article saying that Carmelo Anthony might possibly be, you know, going to Miami.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
LeBron,
we'll see how it all connects because now
a pay cut. But we'll talk about that little later
on.
Yeah,
we'll
see.
Everything connects, man. Everything definitely connects. I just want to say, man, a lot of these stories we talk about in terms of athlete and money. I mean, I don't like the count of a dude's money, but at the end of the day, when you have dudes trying to sell inflatable furniture, you know, to kind of sustain their living, it's always good to hear a story like this, man.
Hey, my homie Dame Dash told me that it's not right to look at another man's pockets, man.
Yo, but be often, that's why I get upset, right, when you see these dudes in our community when they, like, get to fighting, like, they're arguing with each other about someone's salary or their contract, and I be sitting there just looking at it
in a barbershop,
and then like LeBron said, then y'all go back to y'all miserable lives.
Yeah, LeBron told y'all go back to y'all miserable lives, man. Like, you know, step your tycoon game up and stop worrying about LeBron. I just think it's a good story because, you know, in terms of athletes and money, it's never a good story. So anything that comes along that's positive, man, you know, it's a good thing. Now,
Jimmy,
back to the foolishness that
you misspoke because you can't be a tycoon if you ain't selling oil.
This is true. This is true. Should I say mogul then? Let's just say mogul. All right, listen, though.
LeBron probably got oil.
He probably do. I know Baby and Slim had
he
an oil
a piece
company.
Of Southport.
You never know. You never know what somebody's into these days, man. LeBron probably owns
everything.
But listen, though. Let's get back to the foolishness, which is on the grind, because this is one of our normal stories. Former Pittsburgh Steeler named Deshay Townsend. There was a drug raid in Pittsburgh. He was caught, him and his cohorts, with drugs, guns.
No. He wasn't caught. He wasn't. It was just he owned the home.
It was his crib.
He owned the home.
I think he was renting
it
to him.
And
he was renting to two of the biggest. The two biggest drug dealers in Pittsburgh were renting.
All right, from
house.
The story I heard, now here's the story I heard when I read it.
And you had to know
they were trying to connect him to it. You know, so whether he had, you know, he may have had that lawyer money. Mm-hmm. Well, if he was moving, if he was pushing rhymes like weight, because they had a nice amount of drugs in their house. They had six figures of cash. You know what I'm saying? So they had a lot. Let me tell
like
you a little
15,
bit of everything 15, they had.
Didn't they have like 1,500 kilos of heroin?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yo,
they were in there trying to build the Great Wall of Pittsburgh with all them. Jay was trying to build the Great Wall of Pittsburgh with all them bricks.
Yo, here's the kicker, though. Outside of the drugs, guns, and cash, they had a live chicken.
What was that for?
The live chicken, that like? One, is what drew me to the article, and I was dying laughing because a live chicken. But they were trying to, like, tie Deshay Townsend to it. I don't know whether they can or not, or just because he had the name. You know how they do. Because he may knew nothing at all, or he may have been a part of it. Who knows? I mean, it'll all come out because they're going to start trying to first 48 the cats they caught. So even if Deshay didn't have anything to do with it, by the time they finish with them dudes.
I gotta read this off again because I don't know if the people out there understand, like, how out of place that is. That's like the Sesame Street joke. One of these kids is doing their own thing, wherever that came from. Yo, 1,500 bricks of heroin, 16 firearms, they were ready to go to war, more than $100,000 in cash and jewelry, two luxury vehicles, Cuban cigars, and a live chicken. Yo, it's like, we're going to poison the whole community. But we got to have fresh eggs every morning for breakfast. We got to have fresh eggs every morning for breakfast.
Come on, man. You know all the kind of stuff Monsanto's putting in the food, man.
To be honest with you.
A drug dealer got to eat good.
They might have been down with Zoe, with the Zoes, man. They use live chickens for other things.
Well, that could have been on some Serrano stuff. Remember Major League? Boy had to sacrifice a live chicken before he went out on the field.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think they just wanted fresh eggs, though, man. They had to be, you know. They're like, we got to be healthy.
Listen, man. They're informed of all the impurities that go in our body due to our food intake. So they know what Monsanto's up to. So they was like, look, we ain't dealing with that, man. We not dealing with that. We want fresh eggs as we sell our kilos and poison everybody else. But anyway, man.
Well, I don't know if Deshae had anything to do with it, but these dudes, first of all, if this is the residence that you live in and you stash this much drugs, money, jewelry, and all that in the house, then
you should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm putting the stash house carry 1,500 bricks, man. You gotta split that up, man. Not that I know.
And off that same album, like your man said, no, don't leave your stash. Don't leave your stash house when you crash out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Yo, come
yo,
on, man.
Yo, these dudes gotta listen to more rap music, man. Come on. Ten
yeah,
crack
man.
Commandments, man. Come on.
Yeah, they drawing, man. But let's hope Deshae Towns had nothing to do with this, because if so, he'll be getting some nomination soon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's move to the next story. The next story is the Jacksonville Jaguars, who should get a JoJo Award just for existing. But they're to add cabanas to their stadium. Jacksonville has had a problem selling tickets. They've tried everything under the sun. I don't know what's the point of this. What do you guys think about this?
Yo, I'm gonna just say this: if you can't get no money in owning an NFL team, you do need to bang yourself out on the highest cliff and just fall down.
Well, look.
Well, go ahead, Devin.
This may actually help their attendance problems, though, because to put in these swimming pools and two level party decks that's going to include 16 cabanas, they got to take out 9,500 seats. So they like, look, since, you know, we live in a whack town that's not going to come out and see us play, and we're not even good enough to force anybody to come out and see us play, let's just throw a party every week. You know, it's Florida. You got nice weather down there. Let's just throw a party every week with and that may work. So this is what they're going to do. They're saying companies or fans can rent one of the four poolside cabanas on the first level for $12,500 a game or $250 a person. That package includes 50 tickets, and it's all you can eat and drink. Wine and beer will be served until the third quarter, well, through the third quarter, just like everywhere else in the stadium. You know, their last call is at the end of the third quarter. They're saying a similar package of 20 tickets are going to be sold on the upper level of the party deck. That doesn't have pool access, and that's $3,000 a game or $150 a person. I mean, it sounds like a good time at the game for a casual fan who's just worried about, like I said, having a party, having fun with football as the backdrop. But come on, man.
As an actual football purist, I'm going to go back before this story originates, and I'm going to ask you guys seriously. I'm not trying to play Jacksonville out, but who made the decision to give Jacksonville a football team? Why did that happen?
I mean, and this is the thing. They're actually getting some new boards, too. I think now they're going to be the leader in like, the size of their video boards. I heard this is, like, the second renovation to the stadium. I've been to this stadium. This stadium is – they need a new stadium. Like, you're just putting nice furniture into a terrible building. And personally – just, you know, being there one time, I think they need a new stadium, but that's just me. Like, all the stadiums I've been to in Florida are actually trash. The Dolphin Stadium, their stadium, and Tampa Bay.
Yo,
these are three places
Dolphins
that
need
a new stadium. I believe Tampa Bay is already getting one, but, you know, Jacksonville, come on, man. Kill yourself. I'm going to go ahead and do this.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
If somebody could hit us up on social media or the chat room and explain to me why Jacksonville has a professional sports team of any sort, I need to know. I don't understand.
I mean, you would think it would work, though, because it's a football state. So I can see why,
what
I'm saying, you would give football teams to different cities in Florida. I'm not as puzzled about that as you are, but
I'm puzzled.
You got to win. I mean, when they were winning, they had fans. I mean, you know how Florida is. They're not winning.
Ooh.
So.
DJ Willie G.
It's easy.
Yeah, but my thing is this, man. They were competitive. They were competitive at one point. Shot to Mark Brunell.
Aha, true.
Everything went downhill, man. Anyway, man.
They back.
Yeah, we shall see. No. The Jags are back. Anyway,
Brunell was the last good quarterback they had.
The Jags are back. Yo, next story. Rapper of the Game, Jaycion Taylor, says that Kevin Durant basically ass betting $20,000. He said he couldn't hit an NBA three. He hit the NBA three, and he's supposed to give him like 20 G's for like some kids that play in his league or something. But Durant says he ain't make that bet. He ain't about that life. The Game said he ass betting. Before you gentlemen give your opinion, the Game has to realize that Kevin Durant can't be gambling on sports. So for you to put that out there, kind of, you know what I'm saying? So Kevin Durant, man, listen, man, you know what you're doing, B.
Jim, this is another one of them things, man, where these dudes need to keep their business off of Twitter and Instagram and all of that, because that's the first place you run when something happens. He said the bet was for him to give 130 kids in his program Kevin Durant sneakers. So he was just doing the math, saying that $150 to $200 a pair, you know, that's adding up to like $20,000. TMZ caught up with Kevin Durant as he was working out, and he told them that the bull was lying. So recently I've seen something else about the story. They've apparently cleared up the beef, and they said it was a miscommunication because apparently TMZ was there when they made the bet, and he said something about the cameraman saying something that made it seem like Kevin made the bet, but it's all good now, and the Game went back to his Instagram after he trashed Kevin Durant on his Instagram. He went back to write like a cushy letter saying that they all good and everything. But this is just, you know, another story of when social media goes wrong, because these dudes, like, as soon as something happened these days, people just run to their phones or their computers. And
isn't that feminine?
Just type.
Something happens and I go to my girlfriend.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, like,
Yo,
he ain't pay me on this bet, man. Let me go get my computer. What?
Yeah, yo.
What are you doing?
This is how the world works, man. At this point, yo, people live their lives through the computer, man. Like, it's this crazy mesh that's happening, you know, that we're witnessing. Because within, say, 10, 15 years, yo, it won't even, like, be weird to us anymore. It's just going to be a thing. People share. Everybody's an oversharer, man. It's sort of like we've become our own big brother. Like, big brother, as it was told to us when we were kids, doesn't have to exist because we are our own big brother. We give up so much information. Yeah, we snitch on ourselves. We do everything. But it's just going to become commonplace to the point where – go ahead.
Would this essentially be like, well, listen, we can't take the people's freedom from them. They have to voluntarily give it up. So is this essentially people putting handcuffs on themselves?
In a sense, but the thing what happens with society is society becomes more and more liberal and things are accepted. So it was once a fear when Al Gore first invented the internet. It was once a fear. Like, I have to watch like certain things that I put up there because it may affect me on a job. But what happens now is, yo, it's like it doesn't even matter anymore because everybody's doing it.
Yo.
So it's like things just become more and more accepted.
Yo, do y'all know how much social media sites are used in the courtroom these days? You know, people are snitching on themselves. The dude who drove the Walmart truck that hit Tracy Morgan and his people, yo, they went to his Facebook page and on his Facebook page, he had a quote on there that said, he said something like, if you're in my way. No, I'm talking about it was like his motto on his Facebook page. And then he kept going to Twitter and tweeting about the case. Well, it's not even a case yet. But it says something like, move out my way or you're getting hit or something like that. And he ended up taking it down, you know, after all of this happened somebody probably told him, like, yo, that's stupid to have up there, especially now. But, yeah, like Jimmy said, this dude has just been going to Twitter saying, you know, trying to defend himself, saying, yeah, if this wasn't Tracy Morgan, you know, I would have got a ticket and I'd be on my way. Like, does he have a lawyer yet? Because if not, he should. And he should probably tell him to chill and get off
the
social media for a while.
because people live their lives on social media, it's like, yo, the investigation has to take place there, because you can't go to nobody's block and talk to their friends and family because they don't see them anymore. Yo,
they don't come outside.
It's kind of weird. It's a weird dynamic when you think about it, because has social media made us more social or less social?
Less.
Yeah, think about it. You talk to people now.
I think social and oversharing, I don't think they're the same thing.
Yeah, I know. So I often wonder, because, you know, you still do talk to friends and family that you probably wouldn't, because I'm going to keep it a bean. Yeah. There are family members I wouldn't talk to at all if it wasn't for social media. Yo, y'all know who you are. Yeah, I mean, like, I hate when people that I talk to online be like, yo, hit me up. I'd be like, for what? Because if it wasn't for Facebook, I wouldn't be talking to you anyway. But
you
anyway,
hit me for 20 years. Now that we're on Facebook.
Yeah, but my point is this, though. Has it made us more social or less social in the grand scheme of things, man? And it's like, yo, when you watch First 48, that's the first place they go, because, like, there's no sense in going to no one's block. Ain't nobody on the block.
I'd say less. I'd definitely say less, because.
What do you think, B. Austin?
Not B. Austin has to handle something. But
okay, yo, you know, there are literally people who sell drugs on social media. A couple of them got busted. Like, yo, cats was putting up, like, pictures on Instagram of, like, yo, the work they can sell you. Like, yo, get at me. I got this for 15. Like, seriously, like, really?
Yo, people crazy.
The internet, yo, is the new street, man. It's crazy, man. But anyway, we'll talk about this.
Everybody's oversharing, man. I was complaining yesterday, Jim, about, like, all the workout warriors out there that's going on, and you know, they're chronicling every single move they do on social media. And now, it's like, chicks just taking before and after panties. I mean, pictures, like, in bras and panties. Like, damn, that's cool.
Yo,
you just
It's funny, man.
Bras and panties on the internet? You can't put on, like, a workout outfit?
I spend most of my time on social media either putting up something ratchet or something righteous. Like, I either try to inspire people or just laugh. And I try to, at myself, I try to fall back at times. I'm like, yo, I'm doing too much. I talk too much. So that's why there are days where cats be. And it's funny, if I go days without posting something, yo, cats will, like, text me, like, yo, you all right? Like, I thought something was wrong with you. I'm like, it's actually the opposite of that. If you don't see me posting that, because I'm living life. But that's the world we live in, man. So we'll see. I think as time goes on, man, and specifically tying this back to sports, it's just going to get crazier and crazier and crazier, because all these guys coming into the league, and that's the NBA, the NFL, this is all they know.
No doubt. All right, so let me let everybody.
But anyway, birthday shout-out before we get Kamal on the line.
All right, let everybody know who's having a birthday. And, of course, everybody, as usual, the birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment for injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond. Visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. And when you make that call, make sure you tell them War Room Sports.
It's my birthday. Yay!
All right, birthday shout-outs. Tight end Dallas Clark, longtime Indianapolis Colts tight end, no longer with the Colts, of course. He turns 35. Kerry Kittles, shooting guard. He was a part of that 96 NBA draft talking about in a little while. Kerry Kittles turns 40, fellas. Kerry Kittles is 40. That's crazy.
Wow.
Kevin Turner, fullback for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's 45. You know, we put him in our birthday shout-outs because he was in the news a few months ago because he has ALS and, you know, has a lot to do with all of this, these lawsuits and everything going against the NFL and people getting sick and having brain injuries. And so shout-out to Kevin Turner. Gwen Torrence, track star, she turns 49. Marv Albert, he likes to bite the booty. Marv turns 70. He's still on the sideline calling games. I still like to hear Marv's voice, man. It's crazy. I still, after all this time, man, he's still, you know, he's still one of the best. But he's 73 now. And, of course, we got to give a shout-out to one of our partners, War Room brother, PJ. He had a birthday earlier this week, so shout-out to PJ, shout out to all these other gentlemen and Gwen Torrence on their birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
Shout out to Gwen. Yes, Gwen, you give me many a good childhood memory, girl.
All right, so real quick before we get into these hot topics and talk for a few short minutes with Kamal Hilton from Gaffer and Hooligan, let me let you guys know how you can get in touch with us. As usual, you can do that at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us, info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All Fair and Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com, listen to the network at wrspn.com, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app to get everything I just mentioned on the go. We just did a small upgrade to that, so hopefully you have it. And if you don't, make sure you go into that app store or Google Play and search War Room Sports and get that app. All right, if y'all what's going on?
I just wanted to say at Casey Mack on Twitter said also birthday shout out to Antoine Jameson.
Okay, floater man, 6'9" floater.
Floater
man. All right, so look, since we're about to get into a lot of conversations, y'all can join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now, blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't have one, if you don't want one, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. While you're in there, make sure you click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at numbers 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to holler at us. So, Jimmy, real quick before we get Kamal on the line, tell everybody who Hot Topics is brought to them by.
Absolutely. For those who have never listened before, shame on you, but our Hot Topics are brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is expected to read as much as you want, try audiobooks. Kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible. Sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done. I'm in the middle of that Sugar Ray Leonard Audible book, and I actually have another credit coming Monday, so I don't know what's the next sports book I'm going to jump into, but there are so many great sports books on Audible. You can get a free one, audibletrial.com/warroomsports, and that means your first book will be free as courtesy of War Room Sports, because that's how we do, and get you a great sports book and let us know what you think about it.
No doubt. Everybody, you know that the 2014 World Cup is now underway down in Brazil. Kind of wish I was there. Not really for the World Cup. But no, I'm trying to really get into the sport. But the thing is, you know, we have what we like to call expert analysts within our War Room family now. So, you know, I'm learning pretty quickly on the fly. So, you know, with us for the first time in the War Room, we have Kamal Hilton of the Gaffer and Hooligan Soccer Podcast, our buddies from up north above the border up in Canada. Kamal, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. How are you guys doing?
Kamal,
pretty
how
good.
Are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just enjoyed the Brazil-Croatia game, but there's some fishy business going on in that game, so you might want to play that drop.
Yeah, I got that waiting. I saw you tweet that. We got that on deck. And for everybody out there who doesn't know, like I said, Kamal is War Room Sports family because the Gaffer and Hooligan Soccer Podcast is on the War Room Sports Podcast Network, and it is one of our better shows on the network right now. So you guys do your thing on the podcast, Kamal. Look, speaking about this game, Brazil versus Croatia, I was into the game. Like I said, I'm really trying to get into football now. I want to respect everybody. You know, we call it soccer. They kind of get upset.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, people like to like to say, oh, it's football, not soccer. We use the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah, same ball, same. It's all the same. So The moment that you were talking about in this Brazil-Croatia game, I was watching as well, and, you know, I was watching the Twitter wire. I saw everybody take the Twitter. So being a novice, I kind of asked, and if anybody doesn't know what we were talking about, there was a call made on Croatia pretty late in the game while the game was tied at one, and it seemed to be, you know, even in my novice opinion, it seemed to be a flop by the Brazilian player. The yellow card was pulled, and I quickly took to Twitter just to ask some guys and ask Kamal, was that a legitimate call, or did Brazil just get some home cooking on that? So what do you think about it, and do you think it actually changed the complexion of that game?
Yeah, I think it completely changed the complexion of the game because the game was tied at one at the time, and Croatia was doing actually really well to try and take a draw from that game because taking a draw would be good for the group standings for them. But, you know, I think FIFA wants Brazil to do well. So if it's late right. in the game and any kind of 50-50 call even, it was going to go Brazil's way. But this one is like he barely even pulled the guy. And Fred went down like – way too easy to earn that penalty, and then from that point on, it was just Croatia wasn't going to win.
I'm glad to see that flopping doesn't just exist in American sports, basketball.
Oh, well, from what I hear, flopping in soccer, like, it's way more prevalent in soccer than in any other sport, from what I hear.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's people in other countries actually think we're stupid for not doing it because you want to get the advantage. Like, we are,
right.
I guess people in North America are more honorable and, oh, stand up for the right thing, but or everybody else around the world thinks we're stupid.
Yeah, I hear you. So let us know who, you know, some of your favorites are. Give us five teams, if there are five teams, who you think could possibly win the World Cup before we get you out of here.
Okay, well, I did do my whole bracket on a Gaffer and Hooligan that you guys can check out. But who I have winning is Argentina. I just think even if you look beyond Lionel Messi, their firepower is just way too strong. I mean, any one of three or four of their players can win Golden Boot. I think Brazil, they're the favorites because they're the hosts. And so I think you have to give that to them. Spain's looking to win, like, their fourth trophy, major trophy in a row. So I don't think you can discount them. So that's three. Germany, they always finish second or third, which is why you kind of put a question mark beside them. But they're the most complete team, if you were to say from front to back. And then the fifth team, that one's up for grabs, really. If I was to pin one down, it's probably Uruguay. I have probably Uruguay going to the semifinal. That's my
Ghana.
Team, but that could be
Ghana.
any of the other ones.
Okay. All right, so everybody out there, like we mentioned a few times before, you can check Kamal out on the Gaffer and Hooligan podcast. You can check that out on the War Room Sports Podcast Network at WRSPN.com. Just go to the menu on the right and check out Gaffer and click Gaffer and Hooligan, and you can hear every podcast that he has on the network. And you guys will be doing just, you know, some short ones throughout the World Cup, correct?
Yeah, we're doing, like, some short mini shows, maybe, like, twice a week, and then I might even do some blogging for you guys on the War Room Sports blog, maybe once a week. Just some short things
okay.
to keep you guys up to date.
All right. Well, no doubt. That means we're going to have our World Cup coverage in full effect. So all of you soccer heads you football heads, you know, make sure you keep it tuned in to War Room Sports, warroomsports.com the whole time. Thanks, Kamal. We appreciate you coming on, especially short notice. We'll look forward to
Thanks,
the blog.
Kamal.
We'll definitely look forward to more of the podcast, and maybe we'll have you
All right,
on
Kamal, take care. Good
next
brother.
Week as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no
shout
problem.
Out
anytime
to the
Gapper. You guys want me on, just say the word.
You got it. Right.
Shout
Thank
out
you.
To the Gapper and Hooligan show.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So, again, everybody, Kamal Hilton, Gaffer and Hooligan Soccer Podcast. If you're a soccer head, you have to listen to his show. It's a great show. And
absolutely.
Just like he said, fellas, I was watching the flop. It wasn't a Dwayne Wade-level flop, like as far as egregiousness goes, but it definitely changed the complexion of that game. You know, I just had to defer to some experts to make sure I knew what I was watching. And as Kamal said, that whole
fishy,
call was
fishy.
A little...
Yo,
so
these waves didn't pop,
in.
Though. He was just flinching, that's all.
Yeah. According to the defendants, D-Wade was just flinching 3 seconds later than the swing. All right, so the Stanley Cup Finals are well underway. The Kings lead the Rangers 3-1 in that series. I've been actually keeping a close eye on that as well. It seems like almost every game the Rangers come out fast, take a 2-0 lead, and then they just can't hold on to it. They actually took a 2-0 lead in Game 4, and this was the first one that they were able to hold on to. It's like a contrast in styles. The Rangers are the fast skaters, and you know they're all over the place swarming, and then you have the Kings, who are a little bigger than the Rangers, and once they get into the zone, they kind of bully them a little bit. It's been a really good series, man. Playoff hockey, I always tell people this, is live hockey at any time, and playoff hockey is some of the most intense sporting moments that I've ever seen. But it just seems like that's just not the appeal of too many people, especially the people that follow us. I guess since we don't talk hockey all that much, we don't have that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets to this, like, it's
yeah,
really exciting.
It's crazy, man. And the Rangers have, like, dominated the series and yet are down 3-1, which is the craziest thing
yeah.
ever. Like, that's what's crazy about it. The Kings never, ever give up. Like, it's like, yo, they're coached by Jim Valvano or something, but
yeah, because they were down 3-0 in a series this playoffs.
Yo, they never give up. It's crazy. It's like they don't start playing until they get down, yo. It's a crazy
right.
dynamic, man. It's like they said with some running backs. Like, running backs can't get, like, you know, active on the field until they get hit. They get hit one good time, now they're
right.
ready to roll. That's how it is with the Kings, yo. But so I have been watching a little bit of this Stanley Cup finals, and it definitely is entertaining, man. It's amazing to see the speed at which these guys play at this level. These are the two best teams at this point, and it's very competitive. And to watch them just keep fighting and fighting and come back, it's been very exciting, man. But I couldn't imagine being a Rangers fan, though. This is. I don't know if this is worse than the Spurs last year, Game 6, like, fallout. But, yo, you dominated a series. Yo,
every
games,
game, you're up 2-0.
Yo, the first two games of the series, right,
they
never
three.
Trail. How do you never trail a game and lose two games? Only time you trail is in overtime. Like, how's
end.
That even possible?
Yeah, it has to be frustrating because, you know, prior to the series, I heard a lot of Rangers fans, but this is what you expect from the fans saying, you know, before that Chicago and L.A. series ended, a lot of Rangers fans were saying, well, it really doesn't matter who wins because the Rangers are going to win in five anyway. And, you know, now we're going to Game 5, and the Rangers are trying to climb out of a hole. The only thing I will say, if there's any sport where climbing out of a 3-0 hole to win a series is, you know, most possible, it's this one because we've seen it several times over the last 3 or 4 years. Our hometown
yeah.
Flyers did it in a series in recent years. The Kings did it this year.
Yes,
the Kings
shout
did
out
it
Eric Lindros.
The year, the 2 years ago when they won the Stanley Cup. The Kings were the same cardiac-type team. And the thing is about the Kings, they don't even have the fan base to appreciate it because L.A. is far from a hockey town.
Yeah.
Other than the people
in
that building,
LA got
probably everybody in the
team
city.
There, period.
Yeah.
Yo, it's
yeah.
crazy. Like, when you watch a Kings game, you see everybody in Lakers jerseys.
They in the Staples Center like, oh, man, somebody sold me these tickets. I thought the Lakers was playing. What's wrong with y'all? But
yeah, that's
all right.
Crazy.
So shout out to the Stanley Cup Finals, man. like I said, we got a lot of big things going on right now. And back to the whole NCAA issues. The NCAA settled with former athletes last week. They decided, well, they announced back on Monday they're going to pay $20 million to former football and basketball players who had their images and likeness used in video games, but these are just video games from EA Sports. So a lot of people got a little excited. This isn't the case that Ed O'Bannon is heading up. As a matter of fact, Monday when they announced the settlement of this case, the Ed O'Bannon case was just going to trial that day. It just started that day. But Steve Berman, an attorney for the plaintiffs, said that it was unclear how much each player would get from the settlement. But he estimated each player could receive from like $400 to a couple of thousand dollars. See, that's the thing when you get into these big class action suits, man. Like, you fight for this, and really what you're fighting for are student athletes in the future, because
it's the principality.
You're not going to get anything. But
although even
when you say
right
that,
now,
Jim,
I'd be cool with that.
I still think the NCAA and EA Sports will adjust themselves in a way in the future where they're still not going to have to pay anybody, because they're going to be like, look, that wasn't you. Like, they – in these games, you knew that, you know, they were using players' likenesses. I think they're just going to start making games that – I know EA Sports likes to be realistic with their games, but they're just going to start making up dudes and putting them on the college game because they don't want to pay
the only problem with that is that's going to affect, like, the game. Like, they may just stop making them. Some companies who used to make them who were competitors just stopped making it because they didn't want these troubles. And what's happening is the momentum is shifting. The NCAA, like, you know, it's one of those things where it's going to take a long time, but the momentum is definitely shifting in favor of student-athletes getting something. I don't know whether it be downright just getting paid, but they're getting something. One of the books I'm reading right now is called, like, The Cartel, and it breaks down so many
NCAA.
Different NCAA scandals that we've never heard of. And, like, yo, when you read some of this stuff, it gets to, like, yo, I want to give a JoJo award out every page. You know, but it gives both sides of the equation. But some of the stuff that the NCAA has done is just basically criminal. And what makes it even worse is the guy who set up the foundation of what's now the NCAA, once he retired, he basically admitted to all of it. Oh, yeah. You know how cats get out of office and they really tell you everything it was wrong now that they're gone, now that they can't be punished. But it's just sad, man. Like, some of the things they make these student-athletes go through, the statistics in terms of how many people don't even get their scholarship. They may be a scholarship athlete, but because they changed the law to make it, you know, renewable annually, how many people don't get it. So it's just a lot of things. But this case in particular is going to be interesting because it's going to be something that's just going to go along the lines of everything else, and the chips will keep falling and keep falling and keep falling, and then they're going to have to make a major adjustment. I don't know what the answer is on long term. It's going to take a lot of people to come together with some sort of solution, but something will get done. But in the meantime, they're going to make as much money as possible, just like the NFL, until all the chips fall. So by the time the chips fall, they're going to have enough money in their pocket where it doesn't even matter anymore.
That's the American way.
That is the American way, man. How many times you've seen, like, big companies, whether it's a tobacco company, where they just look at the they measure it like, look, we're going to get sued. But if we could just hold off to this, then we could pay the lawsuit out. We'd have made so many billion that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's about cost-benefit analysis. There you go. And the margin. You know, you factor in the lawsuits and the litigation as a part of your cost. And so if you already have accounted for that as a cost, then who cares? If I'm gonna make $30 billion over the course of 10 years, and my cost to do so is $3 million in operating costs, $4 million in legal costs. All right, it's $7 million to make 30. I'm cool with that. I mean, I know in the media, I'm gonna kind of look like a dirt bag, but I can live with that. I'm just gonna look at that as being the cost of me putting $23 billion into my pocket. So
to be Austin, aka Mitt Romney, he said you don't care about public perception. You're gonna be somewhere getting high, getting head on the beach.
Yo,
right?
Man, listen, man, I'm definitely not down. I'm definitely not down with the Republicans, but Mitt Romney is one of my He's one of my homies. He only paid 12% in taxes, yo. I'm impressed.
Man.
Oh, he paid 12%.
he got mean pen game, man. The pen is better than the sword, man.
Oh man.
Anyway,
that dude's crazy. Well, speaking of NCAA sports and some of the cats that are getting rich off of it, even if they acting like they sympathize with the players, John Calipari, coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, was offered a 10-year, $80 million deal to coach and be president of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, he turned this down, and he got like a 7-year, $52 million contract from Kentucky that was already done before he got this offer, but he just signed it this week. I don't really look at it as a slap in the face to Cleveland because, like I said, the Cleveland deal came afterwards. So even if he did take it, he would have had to renege on a deal that he already had a handshake in place for, even though coaches do this all the time. But what is your opinion on this, fellas? Would you just jump to the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers in particular, for $80
what?
I can't relate or even begin to understand the position that Calipari is in. So for me, I would have gone to the Cleveland Cavaliers in a heartbeat because the contract would have been guaranteed. And as soon as they fired me, I could go back to NCAA and catch, you know, two checks at one time. One of the things you have to understand is unless your name is Red Auerbach, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich, or maybe Larry Brown. I won't even say Larry Brown, but unless you're those three, Pat Riley, you are hired to be fired. So a Cleveland Cavaliers coaching position has, for Mike Brown, it has a six-month timeline. For an average coach, it probably has a two-year timeline. For Calipari, they probably would have gave him 3 years. So he'd have worked for three but got paid for eight. Then Daniel, when they fired him, Gilbert would have came at him and said, look, we can't pay you $10 million a year. We fired you, but can we roll this out over 20 years? So that means my man would have been getting somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million for the next 20 years. There's no way I would have turned that down.
Yeah, but also,
yo,
you'd have walked out of that college campus like this. There it is. He's like, babe, go pack the bag.
Yo, I've had personal conversations all week about this topic, and I swear, like, me and B. Austin, we hadn't talked about it. And for the exact same reasons, I would have left. Everybody else's opinion was, oh, how are you going to leave that cushy job at Kentucky where you have job security? I don't care about job security. The money in the NBA is guaranteed. You are a god in college basketball. If you don't go back to Kentucky, you'll go back and make another program just as good as you made Kentucky after you get fired in 3 years from the Cleveland Cavaliers and still have to somehow collect this whole $80 million someday for the exact same reasons. I think you leave, do your 3 years in the NBA before you get fired, and I think you double up. I think
he
could have
came back.
Are we greedy?
Yeah, we are. He could have came back to the NCAA and gotten more money from a dumber program.
Yo, shout out to Rick Pitino. What you just laid out was the Rick Pitino deal, yo. Go get this bread real quick and come right back. Miles Simon. How many coaches have done this?
Yo, but the crazy part of it, fellas, is that the only reason Cleveland was in hot pursuit is because they know that he's close friends with LeBron James. You know, LeBron's Drake. He's close friends with everybody. He's close friends with LeBron James, and they really thought having Calipari in the mix would lure LeBron back, or they'd have a chance to lure LeBron back, you know, this summer when he can opt out.
I
think that's a silly reason to pay somebody $10 million a year, and I don't really think it would work because I don't see under any circumstances of why LeBron would go back to Cleveland, even though everybody's laid out the narrative of the hometown dude coming back. But
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back to Cleveland if I was LeBron to use the bathroom and blow my nose. Like, come on.
Yo, on a low though.
Especially after the owner disrespected him after he left. Like, I can't go back to
Cleveland. Yeah, but LeBron is all, we all know LeBron is a capitalist, man. So what's going to help his brand? If he can come back somehow and win Cleveland the title, that's a Disney movie. And, you know, LeBron is all about his bread. Yo, LeBron is all about his bread. And on a low, yo, LeBron run the whole league on a low. Outside of being the player he is, yo, you know how many times I hear, like, people doing all these crazy
Adam Silver always
somehow
references him. Like, yeah, I talked to LeBron
yo,
the other day. He gave
yo,
me permission
yo,
to
Paul,
oust
Chris
this dude.
Chris Paul got on the radio and said before they did that whole thing with turning their shirts inside out, he had to clear it with LeBron first. Like, why are you asking LeBron what you can do with your squad in L.A.?
Coward.
He said, look. Yo, like, yo, why you clearing it with him? Like, yo,
Jimmy, yo,
and the thing is, LeBron don't even have the personality to be that dude, and they're making him that dude.
He don't even want to be.
They're like, if you're the best player, we're going to make you that dude. It don't work like that.
And then, you know what I think it is? I think because he's such a beta male that they feel comfortable doing it. Like, if he was like Mike or Magic.
I called him a beta male.
Yo, if he was like Mike or Magic, who, like, you know, like, you know that they're going to run something or whatever, they probably wouldn't come to him that way because they'd be like, yo, this boy is arrogant. Because he's not arrogant, they just basically treat him like a king anyway.
No, but I've heard he is arrogant.
Arrogant in terms of he knows his worth. Like, do you remember when LeBron signed his contract in Miami, the boy straight said on the record, like, yo, there's no way they could pay me what I'm worth. Like, he knows his value to the league. You know what I'm saying? And he knows his value to the league, but in terms of, like, being, like, a killer, you know what I'm talking about, the Kobe mentality, the Mike mentality. He doesn't come off that way. Let's just say it that way.
Yo, I want you to take what you just said about Chris Paul back, because he's one of the dudes that I kind of respect, man, and that along with his haircut is going to take him off the respect list.
I think Chris Paul's the fakest tough guy out there.
So you think Dad don't believe nothing anymore, yo.
I don't, man. Everybody.
Yo, Dad don't believe nothing about
people,
nobody.
Man. I think Chris Paul the fakest tough. He one of them dudes to act tough on the court because you know you're a superstar point guard. As soon as you look at somebody wrong, six big dudes is gonna jump to your defense. So you can act like that. Catch the ball on a 1-on-1. He's probably a bad.
Hey.
Sounds
personal.
Yo, Dev doesn't believe anything from any athlete,
man.
Yo, no matter what sport it is.
All these dudes, everything is contrived. Everything is concocted. It's
no,
not
Russell,
him,
Russell,
so it's not
Russell Westbrook is real.
Like,
Russell
real
is real.
What? He just
real gay.
Like,
We talking about Lob City. He threw the hoop up.
At KCMAC38 on Twitter says, blame Stephen A. Smith for CP3's toughness.
No.
Do you guys get why he said that?
No, I don't get it. I don't. No. See, that's the thing.
You gotta explain
as much as people, who you said that?
Stephen A.
I don't know if he's saying that like dissing Stephen A. for some reason, so I'm not really talking about him when I say this, but I hear so many people dissing Stephen A., and I hear so many people dissing Skip Bayless, but every time somebody brings up a sports topic, they're referencing something they saw on First Take. I'm like, yo, why do they get the ratings they get? Why do people watch their show nonstop if nobody likes them, nobody respects anything they say? But every conversation we have, it starts out, I was watching First Take and I saw such and such. I've literally seen the show 5 times in my life. You know what I'm saying? And I'm home a lot. I just don't – it's not programmed in me to turn to that at that particular time. But I've never really thought it was that great of a show. And apparently, from what people say, they don't think so either. But – everything they say out their mouths is referencing
yeah, that show something is, that show is show. A top-rated show on ESPN.
I don't get it. Nobody likes Skip. All right, but anyway, we got into Chris Paul and the Clippers. Y'all know your man Donald Sterling is back at it, even after everybody thought it was a done deal, the $2 billion deal with Steve Ballmer. He's decided to, again, pick up his billion-dollar lawsuit against the NBA, and he's not going to sign off on the sale. So now he's actually in court against his wife. And mm-hmm. they have to hash everything out before Shelley Sterling can sell the team. See, now I'm getting confused because, you know, I thought this was contrived and, you know, I still think the NBA is trying to do him a solid, whether he was in on it or not. They were trying to, you know, say, okay, we had to sacrifice you because you broke the code. You know, we feel that way too, but we can't say it out loud. So we're going to make sure we drive up the selling price for this team so you can go out sweet. You 82, come on, you don't need to have this that much longer. Get your $2 billion in roll. I think they tried to sweeten the pot for him like that. But now I really do think the dude is trying to mess it up. Like, I didn't know whether he was in on it or not, and he was just acting as far as the resistance that he was given. But now I think something's really wrong with the dude, man. Everybody's talking about
it. It ain't nothing wrong with it. It makes sense, does it? Because, look, man, there's a certain type of individual. We may not be able to relate, or maybe we can, depending on whether we're men of principle and character and all of that. But dude he doesn't really care about the $2 billion in terms of spending power. He cares about his perception of being bitched in the media and in the public.
Right.
So
right.
He's like, y'all are basically, you can't go in another man's house and take something that he doesn't want taken, no matter how much money or compensation you're offering. So they're basically saying, yo, here, give me that. And as a matter of fact, take this back as a, you know, as a token. But he's like, on one hand, it's $2 billion, and he'll get at least $1 billion of that, and it's cool. But on the other hand, they're dictating to him, and he's the type of guy with the ego that he has and the fact that he's a little insecure anyway. He appears, and he realizes that he appears to be a big international tender chicken hawk. So he's like – he's like, no, I can't abide by that. So it's a battle within himself. He on one hand, he wants to say, yeah, it's a lot of money, it's worth it. On the other hand, he's like, yo, I'm 81 years old, and I have, at least in my own mind, a reputation of being strong. I can't use this $2 billion, and my kids are already set. So, no, I'm not letting you take my manhood for – I don't have a price. So he wants to fight. I get it, totally.
Yeah, what he said, basically, bottom line is, I think the age plays a lot into it. When you 80 years old, that $2 billion ain't going to do nothing for him anyway, because my man is on his way out.
I can't take it with me.
Yeah, my man is on his way out, and he like, look, while I'm here, I'm going to make it miserable for you, because he really thinks he's been wronged. he really thinks that he's been wronged, so he's going to fight it. Or you think he on some stuff like, yo, you think I can get three? You think Paul willing to give three? No, I doubt that. But he's just going to fight it. I don't know what's going to happen, but he's been known to hold things up in litigation, all kinds of stuff. Like, yo, if you
read
some
fighter.
Dude, dude's been in court. Like, he has a court case going on every year for like the last 30 years. He always has a case going on. That's like part of his life.
Yo, now he's in court with his wife, though. Y'all going to share this money.
He in court with her, divorcing her at the same time this whole thing is going on.
Yo, the Sterling family is something else, man. They are something else. All right, somebody get their screen team on. But did you guys see the anti-Redskins ad that they ran during Game 3 of the NBA Finals? It was the Yoka Dehe Winton Nation. They ran a one-minute ad on Tuesday night during Game 3. The ad was a part of the Change the Mascot campaign. And I think it only aired in, like, D.C. area, San Francisco, Chicago, Dallas, L.A., New York, and Sacramento. So they picked some big markets, and, of course, they picked the market that it affects the most. Yeah, I mean, because basically, let's be honest, they probably couldn't afford the national joint. So I know a lot of people who said they didn't see it, but it is all over the internet right now.
You asking me.
The pressure has been ratcheted up
on
Dan Snyder, man. Yeah, the pressure has been ratcheted up on Snyder because, you know, the government is starting to get involved. The Redskins organization just keeps coming out and saying, you know, we've checked. It's not a slur. I still think that's just pretty arrogant. Like, how are you, you know, who are you to – you go talk to some people and these little polls that they talk about, these little surveys that nobody took, and they come saying 90% of such and such says this, and they only polled like six people. I think at some point, I mean, I think he stands to make a whole lot of money in merchandising and all that if he just goes ahead and changes it. I'm not saying that's why you change it. You know, you change it for moral reasons. But at the same time, you can capitalize and cash in on it. It's just really arrogant to me for them to keep saying it's not a slur. If some, and even if everybody's not going to agree and you're going to find some people to say, I'm cool with it, if somebody has a problem with it and they've been trying to fight this for 70 years now, come on. How are you just going to keep saying it's not a slur? I don't get it. So what did you guys think about the ad? Was it powerful? I keep hearing the word powerful.
I loved it. I'm from the side of the tracks on this issue where I feel as though from the gate, the history that surrounds that particular organization, the Washington Professional Football Team, is rife and ripe with institutionalized racism. That's not a shot directly at Daniel Snyder or its fan base, but
make
I just
it up.
Think yeah,
he
like he didn't make, but
stand for it.
Prescott,
yeah.
You know, Prescott Marshall, we all his racism and history is well documented. So why not take the time to distance yourself from that legacy as opposed to being, as you say, prideful, headstrong, and kind of just rocking with it to stand behind your fan base? Because your fan base is ignorant. I've had a lot of conversations with people of African-American descent who defend the term Redskin. And then you ask them, well, what if it was the Washington Jigaboos or the Washington Niggers or the Washington Tar Babies? Oh, that's different. Why is it different? Because you won't
not
take
different.
The time to have you won't take the time to have some empathy and perspective and look at it from the perspective and viewpoint of another group of disenfranchised people who happen to be in a lower position even than black folks. Like, to you got some nerve as a black person to defend that. Like, it's okay if you want to be a fan of the team, but to defend that makes you a house person.
A house Redskin.
You a house Redskin as opposed to a field Redskin.
No, I get what you're saying, too, because if I was born and bred in the Washington area and I was a diehard football team fan, like, of course, like, you're like, okay, this is tradition. This is what I'm used to. But at the same time, you have to step outside your own little box. As much as we complain and we're ready to play the race card at the drop of a hat, look, I mean, we're sitting here, a dude is losing his basketball franchise. He didn't call anybody any names. You know what I'm saying? And y'all running around with the name on the front of your jersey, and you're defending it. That's my thing. It's like, I know it's your team, and you can still love your team. But at the same time, like, that's just –
I'm glad you took the time to point that out, Dev, because now what I'm going to do is every one of my fellow black people that I get into a dialogue and conversation with about the Clippers, I'm going to bring that up. And if they defend the Redskins and are about that life in terms of getting Donald Sterling out of there, I'm going to call them a hypocrite because it's hypocritical. It's hypocritical. As you said, from a tradition standpoint, I'm not mad if you're not offended by it. I get it. I can understand not being offended, but where you're not sympathetic to a group of people who went through something similar in their history and didn't make it out on the other side, you know, necessarily in the same condition as black folks, how can you not be empathetic towards them? Like, and then you want, as you say, you want to play the race card when it comes to black issues, but you're not sensitive to other minorities. That's the point.
Well, let's go to the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. We actually got a Redskins fan on the line. I think he wanted to call in and talk about some other stuff, though, so we're not going to force him into that conversation if he don't want to talk about that. But we got Jonathan on the line. What's up, Jonathan?
I know
you don't want to get in all that. You don't have to get in all that.
I flame you on the air, brother.
It's just ironic that he happened to call in while we talking about that. So it's up to you, brother. You don't have to get into that.
Well,
you talk about what you want to talk about.
It's a no win issue with me. I agree with you guys with the whole, you know, it's hard to let go and everything else. But me personally, I'm still standing by. It's all about the dollars, and that's just my opinion. You know, because this only comes up every what 10 years, and when it comes up, I mean, it's just about money. I mean, not everyone's gonna agree with that. I understand that, but it's just about the dollars.
But you know what though? Think about it though. That community might only be able to afford to go hard at this every 10 years. Like,
well,
we just talked about
that
whole commercial. They couldn't even afford to make that a national ad. So you
it's
know,
a bunch of folks. But I mean, like when DC was going, some of these council members, they had complained about the name too as well. These are some of the same council members just 15, 20 years ago who was trying to get the Redskins to come back or come into DC and actually with the stadium deal. Working back with 94, 95. They were some of the
They missed that.
Were,
they missed that money.
Oh, well, I'm a just
they
a
missed that, that stadium.
Who wanted them to stay there? So to me, it's all about the money.
They missed that.
It's just, you know. So, but I mean, you know, I guess in this situation, each his own. I called basically because there was two things I wanted to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about is this whole LeBron James, D. Wade, Chris Bosh, and possibly Carmelo Anthony deal. I don't know if you guys heard about this. I'm sure you have. Do you agree or disagree with it?
Well, I'm personally, this is Dev, I don't really like super teaming, what we call it in the first place. Like, I didn't really like how they got the big three together anyway. Like, these are a lot of dudes who, you know, probably minus Chris Bosh. He was definitely a star in his own right, but I'm talking like the whole rivalry thing.
Superstar, gotcha.
Toronto wasn't good enough to be anybody's rival, but, you know, there was a time where I liked the hype of the matchup between LeBron and D-Wade, even though, of course, they played two different positions.
Right.
They tried to hype the Carmelo-LeBron rivalry like they were Magic and Bird from the moment they stepped into the league. So for them, like, to be four of the top players in the league and they all decide we just want to play together, like, to me, I think it, of course, it makes everything in Miami a little more exciting, and everybody has their eye on them. But at the same time, I think it's taken away from the rest of the league because, okay,
right,
the Knicks aren't that great. And wherever Carmelo's been playing the last couple of years haven't been that great, but you still want to see good matchups every night in the NBA. Like, I've been a League Pass subscriber since, like, 99, and the value of my NBA League Pass has just been dwindling in the last few years because everybody wants to play together, so the best games are the games on Sunday that you can just turn on regular TV and see for free. So, like, why am I paying to see Milwaukee play, even my hometown Sixers? And, you know, that's like the five of us getting a squad and walking down the street and challenging somebody. That's how bad the basketball is. So I definitely don't like it. I would lose some respect for Carmelo if he went and joined in on that circus. I really
Jonathan,
would.
This is Jimmy speaking, and I have a completely different perspective. For those out there listening, by the way, because I know a lot of people always think that we agree on everything, and you guys have no clue. We disagree on damn near everything. But
they do
I'm
have a clue, Jim. Just when
this.
We do it, they just act like they didn't hear it. They act like it doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
They
so
just want to lump everybody.
They act like we agree anyway. They be like, y'all war room dudes say this. And I'm like, yo, I'm
we just finished arguing
hey,
in front of your face.
I love you guys. You know, we have
but listen,
different
John,
aspects of teams and stuff, but I love you guys. You guys are brutal. I like you.
John,
I mean, though,
here's my opinion, though, John. I'm kind of on the other side, man. And maybe it's because I grew up like watching cartoons and wrestling. The whole thing of teaming up to me is cool because I used to wonder, like, yo, what would it be like if Magic and Mike played together? I used to sit in the room and wonder that.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
But so now for me,
not
it's
fair,
cool,
man.
But I need more people to do it. It's not, it's bad when they're the only team to do it. I thought it would set a trend of, all right, now, I don't have to, I'm different than Dev. I'd rather not watch 15 teams. I don't have to pay them no mind. I could just watch the great teams beat up on them. I just want more super teams. I need every team to have like five stars, and they just like
well,
I can watch
they
them play.
Tried. People
the
are trying,
time,
but there's no
the
collective
the
in the league that's as powerful, especially with these dudes when they first got together when they were all in their primes. Like there's no collective in the league that can beat.
I mean, there really isn't, like, man. And for me, in terms of LeBron and how it affected him, I didn't have a problem with him super teaming like my brothers did. My problem was the way he went about it with the whole like decision. Because my thing is, how you going to hold up? Yo, when he announced the decision, I was like, oh, he's staying in Cleveland. There's no way you would get on national TV to play him.
Yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Disrespected
like,
that
the, yeah, the way he went about it, I wasn't with that, but I didn't mind him doing it. And I also just want to throw this out there. I find it interesting now when I watch this whole thing with Kevin Love because,
mm-hmm.
like, everybody's saying they're not putting a great team around Kevin Love. He should leave. It's like the narrative's a little different with him than it was LeBron, and I'm going to leave it at that before I start, you know, tying some other things together. But, Jonathan,
it should be
point.
Different.
No,
but
no, leaving Jim is different.
I was
going to
go somewhere else with that, but I'm going to chill.
I was never mad at LeBron for leaving. If you want to leave Cleveland, fine. I just don't like the whole, okay, D-Wade, Bosh, let's get together. Like, I just don't. That's not cool.
No.
People always ask me,
well,
you had
an
opportunity to play with your friends, this and that. Like, no, I want to bust their ass.
No.
I want to make them know who I am.
Shout out to Howard University.
And all that friend stuff, he ain't growing with them dudes, man.
I mean, I get that, but like, yo, I was like, yo, be Austin Dev, yo, we can go play in Miami on the beach, make a bunch of money, see some scantily clad women, get a bunch of hues, like, yo, you might be with that, as opposed to saying, yo, let me stay in cold-ass Cleveland playing with Antoine Jameson and Big Z. You're like, oh, I can
we'll
go play out
this.
Of Miami.
And don't forget,
what's his name? With Nesbitt,
okay.
His mother, Delonte West.
Yeah, I can play.
Competitiveness, yo. It's about a quality.
Well,
life.
I can do that and play with my friends, but it's a different dynamic when your quote-unquote friends are like two of the best players in the league as well. Like,
yeah,
so if we were friends and we were in the league, I doubt we'd
that's
be top 10 players in the league. So us playing together is not going to cause any ripples. You know?
Yeah, that's a flaw.
You say basically that, like, if LeBron was cool with, like, you know, I can't even think of no bum. Cause
Kevin
Ollie. Kevin
he ain't got to be a bum either. Like, if he was cool with Joakim Noah, which is, like, his probably his worst enemy in the league, Joakim hate him.
The best center in the league, though.
He was cool with Joakim, and they won, and that was all. That's all cool with me too. Like if you want to team up with a good big man, that's cool. But just the whole all three of them, and now maybe four of them. Come on, man. That's
I just want to see. I just want to see more.
Jonathan.
I want to see it's like the when the NWO got together. Man, I want to see like
Jonathan.
Other people do it.
False legacy, man.
False legacy. This ain't wrestling, man. Wrestling was purely entertainment. You pooping on the game, man. You got.
I mean, you
hold
on to something that don't exist no more,
maybe,
man.
Maybe you're putting an asterisk. If they win the title this year, or let's say next year, okay, if they all four get together and they super team, whatever you want to call it, right? And don't forget, they got Greg Oden too, right?
Yeah, he gonna get healthy.
Why shouldn't I forget it?
He gonna get healthy.
Okay. If they win next year, is there an asterisk by their championship?
No, there can't be. Jonathan,
I don't really believe in the asterisk thing, but
they haven't broke any rules, John. What rules did they break?
You can't put an asterisk by it because they are doing things that's well within their rights.
Jonathan,
I just happen
Jonathan.
To think as
Jonathan.
A man at a
No, I was just wondering. Just a hypothetical question.
Jonathan, let me just say this. From my perspective, there's a thing called competitive greatness. Now, we all feel as though that War Room Sports is the best show that exists in terms of what we do. And within that, there are five brothers. And I love my brothers to death, but I feel as though I'm the best. And when I'm trying to kill Jimmy in an argument. I'm trying to kill Dev in an argument. I'm trying to win. I'm not trying to team up and be on Jimmy's side and let's get together and let's all have the same position and let's all hug up and I can't use the word that I feel because the Pink Mafia will shut us down. But that's May. That's the month of May with a G, man. For real.
Right.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest here. I know what I'm saying is funny and I want it to be entertaining, but character and greatness is built through adversity. It's built through adversity, man. It's built through competition.
A little bit.
These guys are not competitive. They want to get checks. They want to get fame. They want to make it as easy to stay on top as possible. It's about being easy for them. It's not about they don't see the best guy on the court and say, yo, I want to bust his ass. They say, there's the best guy. I want to play with him. That doesn't even sound right, John.
Yo,
when you go
let me
to
get,
play
you,
right.
get your number so I can text you later. I got something to ask you.
Yo, you're so good, dog. I like the way you dunk. I want to play with you.
Yo, that don't even sound right. Some of these dudes, I'm going to keep it a bean. Some of these professional athletes, yo, don't even care about the game the way we do. They do it because they're able to do it. No, that's real. Yeah. They do it because they're able to do it. So what you just said, Austin, may be true. Yo, I want to stay on top, make as much money, be as famous as I can. I don't care about, like,
but
basketball
the way
we do.
But I'm a fan of the game,
no,
so
I don't
care
you're
about your character flaw.
I understand
flaw.
That.
I don't care that you're a cornball. I want to see good basketball.
That. I understand that. I understand what you're saying. But at the end of the day, man, they did nothing wrong. These are the rules that are in place.
No, they
did. They followed that.
Oh, yeah.
I need more
and
people to do the same, man.
Yeah, I'm definitely not on that. Sure. I mean, because, you know, there are some people that hate them so much that they would even argue that. But, you know, they, everything they do, then, you know, their rules.
Yo,
I mean, I know a lot of dudes that follow the rules in life, but that don't mean I don't think they saw. What's the topic you want to talk about?
My next question. That was good. Thanks, man. I didn't hear someone else's thoughts. I was against it. But my next question is, did Colin Kaepernick, the rookie classes, these Knicks stud NFL quarterbacks, their contracts are due next year or two?
Cam Newton and Russell Wilson.
Cam's camp already said, I'm not trying to get a Kaepernick contract. I think what Jimmy just said is the truth. Like, he didn't play anybody but himself because no other agent worth their salt is going to allow their client to get into a deal like that. I think Kaepernick feels that he got what he could because there's still a lot of questions about him, whether he can really be that guy. Because as talented as that team is, you know, maybe if he was a little bit better, they would have won a Super Bowl by now. And I'm not knocking him because he's still a young quarterback and we can't expect so much so quickly.
But the Ravens.
I don't think he set everybody else up because I don't think anybody else is going to go for that kind of deal unless it's the only deal they can get. Cam has shown that he doesn't need a deal like that.
Supposedly his words to his agent or whoever handled the deal. Our team negotiators was, this is going to allow us to sign Crabtree and a couple other guys, right? And they said, yes.
Yeah.
So you're saying, is it going to be
pressure put on these other quarterbacks to do that, like basically saying, well, if you want to win and you want us to be able to sign other guys, you can take this kind of a deal. I think there's a way you can structure your deal and not just get played all the way out like Kaepernick and still leave room. Like Brady's done it. Like they always hoot and holler about Brady.
Brady
never really took less money. He just structured his deal in a way so that they can get other players signed under the cap, but he's still going to get all of his money. So there's always a way to do it without playing yourself.
And also, man, look, man, this is a business at the end of the day. We could talk all this rah-rah teammate nonsense, yo, but if I'm going
to
go get my contract and you can't sign Crabtree, that's not my problem. I got to maximize my earning potential. Listen, man, that's Crabtree's problem.
Look,
you cool and all, but guess what? I got to get this paid. In the words of Latrell Sprewell, man, I got to feed my family, man.
I'm like, catch this.
Yo, when I first saw the numbers, Jonathan, on the Crabtree deal, the Kaepernick deal. I thought the Niners were idiots. But then when I actually analyzed the deal, none of it is really guaranteed. They can cut him.
They can cut him from 61 being guaranteed. He's guaranteed $13 million.
He's basically being
evaluated year after year.
Do you think he signed it because he was possibly getting in trouble with this whole Florida thing, which he got off today.
He's not good.
His agent was out sick, and he went to the meeting by himself. That's what I think.
I don't know if it was
Jimmy or someone said he's not that good.
That's me. That's B. Austin. He's not good. Him or Robert Griffin. They're not good.
Yo, I'm not ready to make that assessment yet.
I'm not ready to make that assessment yet.
I think it remains to be seen how good he can be. I think he has potential. I don't know how good he can be.
Potential.
No, no, but what I'm saying is this dude, if he puts the work, he can be
the greatest
be a good
ever.
Quarterback. I mean, you know, I think he has the potential to be a good quarterback. I'm not ready to say he's not good. I mean, because compared to who? Because there's some dudes that's not good. I take him right now over McNabb. But anyway.
Of course.
That being,
but who wouldn't?
with that being said, I think the deal was a sucker deal. He took one of them No Limit. He was represented by No Limit. And he took one of them Ricky Williams deals. And
yo, there's no limit to the bad deal I'm going to get you.
Yo, Cam Newton and his camp straight said, we do not want one of them. They called it a Kaepernick deal. It's like, that's what it's going to be known as from now on. His agent said, we do not want a Kaepernick deal.
Yo.
Bad deal, but now it's called Kaepernick deals.
You got five quarterbacks that are due for a deal coming up next. You got Andrew Luck. You got Andrew Luck. Mm. You got RG3. You got Cincinnati. What's his name?
Andy Dalton.
He come on. He wants big money, which I don't see it.
Yeah.
And then of course you got Russell Wilson. You got to take care of. So and then also don't they have to redo someone else's contract? There's another big name's contract. Is it Bradford? I think he wants a new contract.
No, Bradford already got him.
I don't know. Bradford,
yo,
job be on
Bradford
the line.
Rob,
so he need to be quiet.
Hey, yo, B. Austin, your man Kaepernick got that flex money. He played his whole life away, yo. Yo,
hey,
anyway,
Jonathan, man.
Dame Dash.
Hey, thanks for your call, man. We got to get out of here. We're running way late.
It's always a pleasure, you guys, man.
All right, man.
Take it easy, man. Yo, I just want to say one thing real quick before we move on, because I didn't get to say anything in terms of the whole Redskin fiasco. I'm not down there like you guys, so I don't deal with it. But this, I just want to make the analogy of this, when someone isn't able to separate the athlete, the person from the athlete and what they do on a quarter field. Just because you're a Redskins fan, like you said, doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they do. I mean, that's just ridiculous,
exactly.
Yo. That's like if you love your wife, are you going to agree with everything she does?
Hell
no. That's why
like
you get a
10%.
All right, now go ahead, though.
All right, man. Y'all dudes crazy, man. I can't take it. All right, so let's talk about some basketball, man. First, y'all can we got to do some verses, man. But these got to be real quick because we are running way behind. So nobody get long-winded on these verses, man.
Okay.
If you got, you know what verses is. It's pretty self-explanatory if you don't. So we're just going to jump right into it. We got two quick things to do. The first one is a three-part versus. There's been a lot of things lately celebrating draft classes, and since they think this NBA draft class is going to be a special one, they started looking back on some great draft classes of the past. They made a documentary about the 84 draft class with Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon, John Stockton, etc. So between the 84 draft class, the 1996 NBA draft class, and the 2003 NBA draft class, which one do you guys think is the best or the greatest and why? Real quick.
84.
Why? Mike was in it?
Of course.
Mike was in it.
Yo, it's not just Mike. It's like, yo, because
Hakeem.
You got
my
two guys, right?
My spiritual leader.
It has five Hall of Famers. One of them didn't even play in the league.
Well, put it like this. I don't think that Jordan is the greatest player ever. He's definitely the greatest two-guard ever, right? So I don't think Hakeem's the greatest center ever, but I think he's top five. I don't think Barkley's the greatest power forward ever, but he's definitely top five. So you have guys just with those three who are arguably the top or
top,
top
five,
five
top
at their position.
Five at their position,
ever.
Yeah.
And wasn't Stockton in that draft too?
Stockton. Mm-hmm.
He's top
Stockton,
five.
He didn't play in the league, but you can't forget about Oscar Schmidt because he's a legend
Oscar
everywhere
Schmidt
but
is the
America.
All-time leading scorer in basketball.
Yeah.
Professional basketball.
And it's not,
and
like people say when we do verses, and it's not even close. Like,
yo,
he
stayed
Kareem got a lot of points.
Smash Brazilian women.
And he
and
gave
after watching
US
that little,
47.
Dog, you
46.
See some of that World Cup. And now I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to get myself in a whole lot of trouble this episode. But all I'm saying is Oscar Schmidt was in there as well. But I don't think it's as far-fetched. I don't think it's like some people we asked this question to, and they hit us with the famous Facebook.com/War Room Sports comment. Is this a real question?
Yeah.
This is a real question.
Because
if you look at some
that.
Of those other draft classes, yo, they were tough. I mean, you just mentioned with LeBron and them are doing, and they're not done yet.
Right.
So
yeah, they're still writing their story.
They're still writing their
story.
There
might be
so
just as
know.
Many Hall of Famers in the 1996 draft as there was.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people, the first thing they went to was championships. The 96 draft has more championships, like for
yeah.
me, just thinking right off the top of my head, because – you got cats
well, that's
like,
because the
know,
Dream
Kobe
Shatterer went
five.
Number three in 84. Mike rocked everybody.
Yeah, you got Kobe with five. You got Derek Fisher with five. You got Antoine Walker with one. Ray Allen with two. You know, so you got some rings to throw around. And me, that's not the end-all, be-all. I'm just addressing that because a lot of people
wait,
did when we asked this question.
Hold on.
And they automatically thought that 84 had more. Because they only saw the photo that we posted, and people were only counting the championships of the people in the photo. We talked about the whole draft class. Now,
Listen,
I do
man,
think the 84 draft class.
Them out, man.
Yeah, I think the 84, like, I can give designations. I could give the 84 is definitely the greatest draft class. I mean, there might be some biasness in there because that's the cats that I grew up on. But even they can stand alone without even me just being biased. They have maybe five of the top 25 players in the league's history in that draft, and that's what holds them. But even though there was 10 rounds in that draft, and even though I think that draft was greater, but compare 10 rounds to two, and I still think the 96 draft was the deepest. You know what I'm saying? As far as just quality players.
Just
so
quality,
you had
yeah,
Kobe,
quality
you had Iverson. Camby had a good career. You had Ray Allen. You had Steve Nash, who's going to the Hall of Fame. You had Antoine Walker, who was a baller in his day. You had, you know, you got Derek Fisher. You name him. He's a champion.
Wasn't
and now
was
a coach.
Jameson,
you,
Jameson in
you had Kerry Kittles.
97.
You had Kerry Kittles. Mm-hmm. You had Sharif Abdul-Rahim, who was a 2010 guy for most of his career. You had – it was a lot of dudes in that 96 draft. So I think that's the deepest draft out of the three. Mm-hmm. But 84, like you guys said, it was just full of just legends.
84 defined to me is a Hall of Fame draft. Like they could put the 84
draft. I always think
people
forget about
the whole draft is a Hall of Fame draft.
Yeah, and I was laughing.
That
I was laughing when
10 rounds unnecessarily back then.
We talked about 1996, and Dev found a way to put Derek Fisher and recognize him as being a part of the 96.
Yo, man, stop hating on Derek Fisher, man.
He said that like I'm not usually on his Derek Fisher slander team. I'm saying him because, like I said, a lot of our listeners out there are all about championships. So Derek Fisher holds a lot of weight in that draft because he has five championships.
All
Derek Fisher
is
the reason why they have more chips than the 84 draft.
Derek Fisher made that shot against the Spurs. I will never say a bad word about him for the rest of my life. I promise you that day, and I'm going to stand by that. Yo,
so
real
Jimmy
quick,
saying,
the 79
Derek Fisher
draft.
Derek Fisher got that Brett Favre treatment.
That absolutely. Yo, the 79 draft had Magic, Bill Cartwright, Sidney Moncrief, the Microwave Vinnie Johnson, Jim Paxson, Cliff Robinson. So there's some good drafts out there.
Yeah,
yo, Uncle Cliff.
So,
yo,
like they concentrate
Cliff
on these three.
79.
Cliff, yeah.
Cliff.
Yeah,
Uncle Cliff
up.
Was. Damn, but he played until the 2000s.
Dog, you think that's funny? Look at Kevin Willis, yo. Kevin Willis.
Yeah,
yo.
Kevin Willis was.
Kevin Willis
money
was
in
the 84 draft. And people might not remember this, but Kevin Willis goes towards the championship count of the 84 draft. He won one with the Spurs late in his career.
He did.
Kevin Willis was playing with Dirk in 07.
Yo, Kevin Willis played with Danny Green. Yo, he played with Danny Green and
so
Kawhi
Kevin Willis Leonard could have gotten another one if Dwayne Wade didn't go ham on them in 2006.
Pretty much. And another dude that went long like that, pause, Moses Malone. Moses played in the league so long, he played for the Sixers like on three different occasions, yo.
And he's back with him.
Yo, Moses.
All right, so I think we all agree that it's the 84 draft, but unlike a lot of people in our community, I'm not going to disrespect those other two drafts. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, you know, those guys.
He's still writing.
You know, Carmelo Anthony. And the most talented dude in the draft, Darko Milicic. Y'all know they're still writing their story. Darko, I think he finished writing his. But
still holding on to that? Whoa there.
I think Darko finished writing his story. His story done. But that's a real talented draft as well. You know, really top-heavy. But I definitely think the deepest draft was 1996. I mean, Kobe Bryant went 13th, for Christ's sake. And he's the best player in the draft. But, yeah, people forget about Kittles and Abdul Rahim and Stephon Marbury and, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Starberry.
Allen Iverson.
Yo, I think that's like one of the worst stories ever. Because
a lot of the 96 dudes just fell off the earth in the end of their careers. Abdul Rahim just disappeared. Stephon went crazy eating Vaseline. Allen Iverson wouldn't take a backup role. So it's like, they're at the end of their story. And people still, you know, people, because Ray Allen's still playing and hitting open threes every once in a while.
Open J's.
There's a lot of people out of sight, out of mind. They're starting to think Ray Allen is the best player from that draft. And for me, come on, man.
Yo, Ray Allen's not better than Stephon Marbury. I'm going to stand by that.
Not in his prime.
That's interesting right there, B.O. I'm going to leave that alone because we're running late because I don't want to get into that. But I think Steph is one of the most underappreciated guys because people forget how good
18 and 8.
Yeah.
Joe Dumars
like
made it to the Hall at 14
like,
and 4.
And 18 and 8, Bjelson is after, you know, some of his bad years. Like if these dudes could retire with their prime numbers, Steph would be like 20 and 9. But
exactly.
Anyway, next verse is real quick, man, and this is a quick one. We just had to put this one in there because LeBron James is all the rage. He's talked about nonstop, whether it's good or bad. Which group of people do you guys think are worse, LeBron haters or LeBron sword swallowers? Who's
swords.
The worst of the two, and why?
Pace, the man pace garglers are the worst because they have no self-respect. They're committing idolatry. They're putting another man above themselves and God. They're the worst, man. The haters are bad too. I think they're both two sides of the same coin. And anytime you lack objectivity in your analysis and being able to separate yourself from emotion, you're terrible. So both are bad. But the sword swallowers, man, a lot of times they just throw the blinders on and they make things up for the sake of supporting their dude.
Yeah.
Yo,
Go ahead, Jim.
All I want to say, a couple things real quick. Starberry was 18 and 8, and Chris Paul is 18 and 9 for his career. So figure that out. But I do want to say this.
And neither one of them won yet.
I kind of wanted to say they equal themselves out, but the act of being a D writer is just so bad those as the worst. The haters are terrible, too, though. I don't want to undersell how bad some of the haters are because they throw all objectivity out the window. They don't care. And it's like it's always personal. And this bothers me about how we treat sports. Like, yo, you can hate him as a man. You can call him a coward. But you can't deny what he does on the basketball court. The same thing with the Kobe haters. You can hate him as a person. But don't tell me that, yo, he's not great. Why isn't he great? Because he's arrogant. What does that have to do with his performance?
It's still people out there calling this dude LeBum, and it's like he's far from that. And that's why I was trying to tell people, like, I think we identify with a little group in the middle who try to keep it 100% real, and we pull no punches with anybody. So we're definitely going to tell you LeBron's a beast. He's the best player in the world. We can tell you what he can do. But on the same coin, like, no one here is above criticism. If LeBron has a deficiency in his game, if LeBron, you know, did something wrong, then I'm going to make that known as well. That's why, that's when you know you're in the middle, though, because I often get called a hater by the Richard Riders, and I get called a LeBron lover by the haters because they don't allow you to say anything positive about the dude. And like you said, when they start talking, objectivity just goes way out the window because it's just totally personal. And nobody wants to give this man his props, even though he goes out there and proves it every night on the court. But I just think being the type of dudes that we are, I think that's why we all agree on this one. I still think the Richard Riders are worse, man, because there's a lot of times when I think it's worse because you don't even have to be saying anything negative about LeBron, but if you're not falling all over him like them, then they have a problem with that. And, you know,
if
they
you're
just
not
have
worshiping,
24-hour,
like,
they have this 24-hour defense mode. And
yo,
it's kind of
it's like
sick.
The church.
It's kind of sick.
If you're not worshiping, but, if you're not worshiping at the altar of LeBron, then they're condemning you because
yo,
you're not bathing in his semen. Like, come on, man.
But I still think that both of these groups don't realize, because, of course, they're at war with each other constantly. They don't realize
yeah.
that they're just as bad. Because,
yo, let's keep it a bean, too. I think the D-Riders are worse. But, yo, the haters are bad, too.
They slander
so
other
people.
Players just to make him look good. And I think
yo,
LeBron
there
looks,
are some
looks
haters,
good on his own.
Yo, there's some haters. All right, let me give you an example, right? And we all
DJ
know.
DJ Willie G.
DJ Willie G is the homie, yo. Got nothing but love for Willie G.
It.
Yo,
he
no
it.
Saying. But he admits
the
it.
The worst
but, yo,
kind of hater is the dude who still acts like he's not a
who
hater.
Doesn't, who doesn't realize he's hating? Yeah, yeah, that's B. Austin.
Yeah.
But listen, though, like, if Willie G, though, I can like, put something up, pause, and I know for a fact, I just wait for it. Like, all right, here come Willie G. He's going to slander LeBron.
F LeBron.
Yo, and it
F
works
LeBron.
Every time, man. So they both
nah,
are terrible.
Willie, I give Willie his props because Willie doesn't even
he's consistent.
Totally poop on his game. He just says stuff like F LeBron.
Yeah, he don't like him. He just
don't
like
him,
yo. He do the same thing to Mike too.
But DJ
crazy.
Willie G is the epitome of this whole dynamic. For some reason, it's people that were big fans of Kobe who hate LeBron, and people who are big fans of LeBron hate Kobe. I never understood this dynamic. I think Kobe and LeBron has the most contrived, concocted rivalry that sports has ever seen. You two guys tell
know.
Me because I may have missed it. I may have missed it, but I have never seen Kobe and LeBron play each other in a meaningful game in my life. Kobe Bryant came in the league 8 years before LeBron. Like, they're not rivals. Kobe, I would say, is from a different generation, but not exactly. He's kind of like the bridge between the LeBron era and the Michael Jordan era. He's the bridge between
yeah.
two eras. You know what I'm saying?
They definitely
so
up there. There's a lot of contrived rivalries,
yeah.
but that may
I'm
be
like,
number one. Now think about it.
Why can't you like both of them? I don't get it. Because the LeBron lovers go out of their way to slander Kobe when Kobe's not even a part of the conversation. You're talking
but
about LeBron.
There's a whole,
and they just
there's
go
a
about
whole
Kobe's
other dynamic. There's a whole other dynamic in play when you talk about Kobe, LeBron, or now, and that's the Jordan factor. Because anybody who gets compared to Mike, first of
the
all,
ghost of.
You gotta stop comparing people to Mike. Like Mike's era is over. He was the best of his era. Let it be. It's over with. But the fact of the matter is, Mike has like this cloud over the league, and I don't know how long it's going to last. And partially, it's because of Nike. I mean, because there were great players before Mike. There are going to be great players after Mike. But you know, and with him still being around the league, with half of the people wearing his shoes, and
he already won.
He won, but like this cloud over the league is kind of it's like yo, every and it's not just the fans on social media,
it's the
Chuck networks
Norris.
And everything. Everything is like
Chuck
Mike,
Norris of
Mike.
Sports,
what about
man.
Mike? Like yo, leave it alone. And they try to write out
LeBron
the older players.
LeBron had a bad game. You never see Mike do that in the finals.
Yeah, it's like yo,
yes,
wow,
we
Mike,
did.
Like, yo, stop
revisionist
comparing.
History.
Like,
yes, we did.
Yo, people hated Mike. And I grew up at a time where Mike was considered a loser. He was considered a gunner. It's like, yo, you're completely right. Revisionist history is amazing. When Mike was losing to the Celtics and the Pistons, people called him a flat-out loser and a gunner and blamed him for the loss. Mike would have a million points, and they'd say, he's the reason they lost. If he would have scored 990,000, they would have won. They would blame him for everything, and he was considered a loser. But now he's never done anything wrong. But he cast his shadow over the NBA that kind of like, yo, the game is just – it's ridiculous. Every time LeBron does – hey, well, Michael Jordan this. And then they do this thing where since the Jordan era, like they try to write out players before him. Because, yo, if you look at the true statistics, Oscar Robertson is all over everything, but he gets written out. When you talk about wing players.
How the older dudes do. But
they write
yeah,
him out.
It's crazy. Like the other night, they lose by, what, 19? Michael Jordan would have never allowed his team to get to lose like that in a finals game. Okay, Seattle dragged them by 21.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Seattle dragged them by 21 in 96. I mean, it happens. It happens to everybody. It's basketball. Every single night you're not going to come out there and do that. But shout out to Joel. He said something the other day, like, yeah, people seem to, you know, they seem to base basketball on just the 6 seasons that Michael Jordan and the Bulls won titles. Like, any other season doesn't matter. Like, what he did before that, it doesn't matter. And everything that happened before that, like, Michael Jordan was once Kobe Bryant. He had a bad reputation like Kobe. Michael Jordan was once LeBron. He was hated like that, but we didn't have social media, so you didn't really know that. So,
yeah,
Mike is my favorite. Mike, to me, is the greatest player that I've ever seen. Mike is my favorite player ever, but it still gets a little tired. Chuck Norris, Michael Jordan type stories getting a little tired.
Yeah, you put me down with something they did. I forgot how they worded it. Well, how they, like, worded it a certain way to, like, only start from the Jordan era, like, and they call it something like the modern day. I forgot how they worded it, but they worded things in a way.
Yeah, modern day era.
NBA. I mean, the Michael Jordan era.
Yeah, the modern day
NBA
starts in 84. Like, huh?
Yeah. So, like, they took Wilt's name off of some record that will never be broken.
A side note is this. Wilt Chamberlain, in his time, he negotiated a deal that would give him partial ownership of the Sixers, right, as part of his salary. But what happened was the owner that wrote the deal up died in the offseason, and when a new owner came about, he was like, I'm not honoring that. And, you know, he couldn't go to court or anything because it was at a time where – Jim Crow was around. So I'm just saying, like, so guys have been trying to do Jim Crow was around, but guys have been trying to do what LeBron and him have done. They've put up astronomical numbers. You just can't forget history. But the crazy part is, as time goes on and LeBron finishes his career, he retires, they're gonna rub Mike out too, Pauls, because it just happens, man. It just happens.
Because there's going to be people that didn't see him. Once you run past the people who've actually seen Mike, then it's going to change, you know. So
LeBron will be that guy that they carry. And it's crazy, though, because we talked about how Tim Duncan, like, yo, I think Kobe's going to be forgot. How crazy does that sound? Like, because I heard yesterday on the four letters. Yo, on the four letters, they was like, yeah, because the Jordan era and then the LeBron era. I'm like, yo, they skipped Duncan and Kobe.
I think that in this era, the one thing with Mike and I'll give some credence to your whole Nike money thing, right? So the Jordan brand is a part of a billion-dollar marketing effort. And when you talk about the Jordan, quote-unquote, era, I want to take it away from just from basketball because from a basketball standpoint, I don't believe that that's right or correct. But from a media standpoint and everything that's captured in terms of content, Mike played in the first era where everything he did was filmed, not from a social media context. That's a great point. You still see Michael Jordan all over YouTube, not like some of the newer players, but you still have young people. Like, my son runs around talking about MJ. Like, what do you know about MJ? You know, so
he got sneakers.
It's like this, B. Austin. That's a great point because some people say that. That's why ESPN, the four letters, came around at a time where you know Jordan dominated, and they all worked together. It was at a time
if Magic came in '84 with his personality, yo, Magic would have been, come on, man,
Magic would have been
that dude. Because
the thing about Mike is Mike's really not even that charismatic, to be honest. That's the crazy
I know. That's the thing. So they created Michael Jordan, who people know of as Michael Jordan, is contrived. Like the man Michael Jordan versus the character. Magic Johnson really is a bubbly, charismatic, friendly, personable dude. So it's like for him, I think if he would have come into the league 4 years later, yo –
But that's why timing is everything. Timing is everything. Timing is everything in sports and business and life. Yeah,
so,
like timing
bill,
is everything.
Plus, you have to have the guy with
the right vision. Like, they came in the year that, you know, 84 draft was the year that Stern took over the league. So, you know, he had a better vision than
his vision was to market the individual athlete as opposed to the team.
Right, exactly.
So he didn't care about
right.
Lakers Celtics. It was Michael in the Bulls versus Barkley in the Sixers.
It's going to be hard to forget about MJ because MJ became synonymous with the league. So from 84
exactly.
to 98 or even 84 to 2000, that is MJ. The league is MJ.
But like Dev said, when you look at the new commissioner, who does he name drop every press conference?
Oh, yeah. LeBron,
for no reason.
LeBron.
So we're going to move forward with everything, you know, with Donald Sterling. I talked to LeBron. He said it's okay. But he named LeBron every press conference. He consulted LeBron about the Donald Sterling situation. Like, so that's what's going to happen. And, you know, then you have the new guys coming in, the Wiggins and all these guys. Like, you never know. That's the great thing about sports. It's always somebody else coming up who they're going to say is better than the last. But the Jordan cloud is unlike anything I've ever seen in any other sport. You know, you can't compare it to anything in baseball, maybe baseball, but not even football. Like, as great players as we've had in terms of running back, quarterback, nobody has cast a shadow over their position or their league the way Mike has, you know. But
Jerry
anyway,
Rice.
I mean, but Jerry Rice is the greatest person in his position in any sport. That's not even close. But with that being said, man, we're talking basketball. We want to talk some more basketball. But I just want you to know that Basketball Talk is brought to you by Fanatics because we do have to pay bills. For the best in your favorite team's merchandise, shop Fanatics. Go to warroomsports.com and click on that Fanatics logo. Or you can go right to our sponsor page, click on the Fanatics logo, get you some NFL gear, NBA gear, NHL gear, baseball gear if you want to. NCAA gear, although no student-athlete will be paid if you buy the gear at this point, but you can buy it at Fanatics. WarrenSports.com, click on that logo. It's time to talk about the rest of the league. Real quick, gentlemen, Derek Fisher hired as the new Knicks head coach, 5 years, 25 M's. What do you think about the deal?
Yeah.
Kevin Ollie showed you the blueprint.
At this point. No, kind of expected at this point. You know, Phil already paid a little fine for even name-dropping Fisher, so, you know, you're already invested in
him.
You might as well go ahead and hire him. Same deal that Kerr got. So they just basically took what Kerr got, gave him the deal. So good luck to him, Kerr. I kind of like that, you know. I like the new trend, fresh coaches.
I do, because I always complained about, like, this never-ending circle. Like, if I would have saw, like, Dunleavy get hired at one more place, I would have threw up. Because, like, yo, there's certain coaches that just circle the league, like, ungodly, but I like the new trend of guys going right in there.
Nelson.
Yo, I think Dunleavy may be the word. Dunleavy. And what's the other prick?
Carl.
Yeah,
the Lakers
like,
are looking at Byron Scott now. He's still fairly young in the game.
Yeah, he is. But I like the new trend. But I also like what Phil Jackson is doing. One of the reasons why I always argue that Phil is the greatest of all time, and probably is because, not just because he coached my Lakers, but I like his intellectual approach to a child's game. So I think what he's doing is building a culture. Because when I saw him talk about the assistant coaches, they're talking about bringing in Rick Fox, Luke Walton, guys that have already bought into his system and his culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it may take a couple of years, but he's changing the entire culture of the team. And I think that plays an amazing part of any championship team is a culture. So he's trying to do that.
Phil Jackson, Jim, is basically going to say, I'm not going to be on the sideline to do it because I'm not healthy enough to do it. But it's going to be like
you are made in your father's
image. The
whole
thing is going to be in my image, exactly.
And more or less, the thing about it is, and the thing that no one's really mentioning is, yo, they in the East, so it's not going to take much to like compete. Like, yo, you're in the East, you might make the playoffs this year, not even winning a lot of games. But anyway, so shout out to them. Melo
about
to bounce. Any thoughts about it?
No, man. Congrats to Derek Fisher.
Congrats
to Derek Fisher.
Wow.
We already rapped about Mel.
We already talked about Melo going to Miami, so FOH to that. Let's talk about the finals. We talked all this basketball, and the finals are going on. The Spurs currently lead the Heat 2-1. There's a lot going on. You had the AC game, the cramp game. The streets told us that the Spurs cheated, rather, because the streets told us that's what it was.
Dumbass.
Spurs came back, took that next game. It's another game this evening. So, gentlemen, what do you think about the finals thus far?
I think thus far we've had a better series, in my opinion, than the way it started last season. Last season's finals, even though we did have a blowout the other day because the Spurs were What did you say, Bielsa? They had the
cheat codes.
They were doing the double drill. They were shooting threes from the very top of the screen.
Yo, no.
Up,
Danny,
up, down, down, left, right, BA
yo,
start.
Danny Green was doing things that he can't do.
Yeah, he
and
was putting
was
the ball on the floor. And yeah. He was
went to the rack, left-handed finger roll off the high glass, and it went in. Like, then he went to the rim. He did, hit a little crossover and a floater.
Boy was
he
playing
can't
like
dribble.
He's playing like he's dirty.
I think it's been a pretty good series. It's one of those things. A lot of people say, well, the Spurs should be up 3-0. But at the same time, those shoulda, wouldas could have gone either way. Like, game one, Miami had the momentum in that game. So I don't know if you could say the Spurs should be up 3-0. But, I just think the Spurs, and this is Captain Obvious speaking right here, like, the Heat don't lose consecutive games in the playoffs. They've gone like 47 consecutive postseason games without losing back-to-back games. So basically after their last 14 losses in the playoffs, they've come back and won. Game four is so important for the Spurs because if you keep going back and forth with the Heat, they've proven in the past that they're going to be the ones to go ahead and prevail and finally win that back-to-back game. I think the Spurs have to win game four if they want to win this series.
I know
that's a hard
thing. And I agree with you. And we talked before the show, and I'll share with our listeners what I was telling you gentlemen, is that, yo, because of how things went last year, I don't believe that the Spurs could win until it's actually over. Like, even if they were to win game four and they were to be up 3-1, after what I saw last year, yo, it's never over. You know what I'm saying? So I think that game four definitely is important because Miami can just roll off three straight like it's nothing. You said they don't lose back-to-back. So the Spurs got to, put that pressure on and win this next game because, yo, anytime you have the best player, you're always going to have a chance to win a game.
Right.
And the Spurs at times during the season and even during the playoffs just go through these lulls where they don't look like the championship team they are. Think about this.
Right.
They were
– they may have played too well last game.
They were a couple seconds from winning a championship last year, and now they're two games away from winning a championship this year. Just two games. You've played all season, all 80-whatever games, all playoff games, and you're two games away from being a champion. Like, yo.
Mm-hmm. You won, and now you're two games away.
I've noticed, to your point, Jimmy, and this is probably one of the biggest points to be made, when you have the best player in the world, everything evens out. So that's something that has to remain in the forefront of people's minds. But what I have noticed is the Spurs are a good team, 1 through 9. They have a 9-man rotation, and they're getting great production out of all 9 of those players. The Heat looks suspect beyond
Patty Mills.
They're big.
My man.
Yeah, they're big. Yo, Patty Mills takes the time to put his stamp and imprint and lay his – you know what, on anybody's head that gets in front of him. He is balling. Yo, Patty Mills is killing it from down under. But
the fact that we're bringing up Patty Mills shows you how this series is going.
Yo.
And this team only got like one American on it.
Yo,
he a grown-ass man named Patty.
Yo,
his counterpart
how you
going to
be a grown-ass man named Patty? Patty I know is him.
No, wait. How you going to get your ass bust by a grown man named Patty? Because they
getting
their ass
bust.
Yo,
I definitely
can.
We got Rumble.
Yo,
ain't no
Rio,
Patty going.
Mario Patty Chalmers nice. And Norris Cole. Mario Chalmers and Norris Cole,
he's
if you put
that.
Them together right now, they're playing like one bad player.
Yo, Mario Chalmers
up,
is having the worst couple games I've ever seen. And not that he's been that great of a player, but I think that whole like child support thing must got him in some panties or something because
he's
terrible.
We definitely gotta go. But speaking of Mario Chalmers, real quick though, as bad as he's playing, he may have been the reason they won game two though. His elbow changed
the
whole momentum of
the
game.
He dropped the Dusty Rhodes elbow, my man.
He dropped one on Tony Parker's spleen, and Tony Parker curled up like a fetus.
Yeah, he
but
hit him with the Dusty Rhodes / Greg the Hammer Valentine elbow, and that was all she wrote. Anyway, thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good folks. Shout out to everyone, those in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, all the calls have chimed in. We appreciate those calls that are still on hold. We apologize. We ran out of time. come back next week. Listen, don't forget, the War Room Sports Podcast Network will have all kinds of World Cup coverage as well as many great podcasts at WRSPN.com. Until then, enjoy the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, also the World Cup, as well as your week. And we'll see you right back here next time. Catch all of our conversations, Facebook, Twitter, which is at War Room Sports, and WarRoomSportsTV.com for our video content. Again, WRSPN.com is our podcast network. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
Know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay.
On replay, warroomsports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323, looking 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in a block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.